This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 18th, 2010.
Okay, it is now 4:45. If the Assembly members can please take their seats, then we'll begin. If the absence, could you please call them? Where's this?
Not here.
Say again? What? He's excused.
He's not here?
What?
Here.
Here. Not excused.
Who is it?
Cancer.
No,
he's excused. He'll be a little late, I think. Unexcused. Excuse.
Here.
Here. Who?
You're in.
Excuse. Yeah.
Here.
Here.
Here. Here. Come on.
Was it added?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Did you call it Vincent Andrews?
Yeah.
Vincent Andrews.
Yeah. Matt Denzer,
he emailed him.
I mean, we... Yeah. Okay, as I promised, we'll try to keep this meeting within an hour or less. And as... we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Do we have minutes to approve? Yeah. The minutes for March 4th. There's been a call to acclamation, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes have been approved. And now, as has been our... practice for the entire year, we'd now like to take a brief moment of silence to recognize William Sinclair and Matt Zika, who have passed away this past week. Thank you. Moving on to open microphone. If anyone in the audience has something to say that is currently not on the agenda, please do so now. Okay, before we move on to announcements and reports, I would like to make a special acknowledgement for one of our distinguished guests, Mr. Austin Redman, who I had the personal honor of serving on the FA with 2 years ago. Thank you for being here. He's here from Kentucky today. All right, we'll go to Cornell Mental Health and Wellness Committee update by Representative Ward. Okay, great. Any questions? All right. Representative Smith with the AAP update.
So, yeah. There are people talking about this in a few minutes or so. I don't know yet. But essentially, two things. One, I'm not just being, or the being held in social sessions. So, I'm not just the task force reports that are now delegated to all of about their community and how they perhaps have a real role in the
Oh, can you please introduce yourself?
I knew it.
Can you please introduce yourself?
I'm Jessica Garner. I'm a university architect. And we're building the dragon right now. It's in the back of Brandon. We're working hard. We have it done by tomorrow. And we're totally going to turn it to our company. Our wonderful children's room and our mirror block. And also, we use the holy crane. So it's just, it's basically just like the tradition of dragon.
And let me just say you've done a wonderful job with publicity. I've been seeing you on Hope Plaza almost every day, so thank you for that. Okay. Yeah. We have a collegiate leadership program by Representative Rivera. Was there anything in particular relating to us that was discussed?
I was there to tell them what we had at Cornell, and everyone was kind of like awed.
Oh, great.
So, that was really cool to see. And I'm talking more with Robin Irwin, who's the spokesperson for them, and we're going to try to get some stuff on the SA's website, so look forward to that.
Great. Any questions for Brad?
Yeah, I have it.
Reverend. I'm just fun. Okay, now we'll just skip ahead to a facility service update by Mr. Q Jung. Yes, please introduce yourself and just go ahead and speak. Can you speak into the microphone? Because we have a recorder.
First of all, let me just say that I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm very disabled in my mental health, so I'm not going to speak to that aspect of the incident. Dr. But I want to talk to you from a physical facility perspective. So, we have good reasons to believe that putting up barriers, some kind of barrier around bridges, do make a difference on whether on the occurrence of suicide. And we're really confident in mixing on that. There are numerous examples around the country and around the world where people have put up barriers and radiation psychiatric issues. So, understanding that this is a real crisis for us, we certainly don't want to see anybody that way. And we feel the need to do something that is
advisors are not looking to go into action, but temporary barriers and also immediately engaged in talking about
thank you. We'll now open up the speakers list to represent the time.
Those are great questions. I'm going to spend an hour to talk about
We are committed to doing that. So we have temporary protection installed. But I also want to tell you that we will not, that does not mean that because we have temporary fences up that we will no longer have security. Because I think that having a human presence there is sending the right message. I think it is lessens the impact of what happened. I can't tell you that it's going to be 24/7, probably not be 24/7. What we'll have to do is look at staffing it in the most critical periods. I know that, I'm not an expert at what the staff would be, but we are looking at that and we are looking at that. Or, as far as the design of the barriers, we're way ahead of ourselves right now. We're looking at all of these examples. You mentioned Old Cambridge, that is certainly an example. We actually have looked at that. Bridge Commission just approved a project to install netting underneath the bridge. There are other examples of bridge netting around the world that have proven to be efficient and effective in cutting down suicide rates. So we're going to look at all that. We're looking at barriers, different types of fences. We also have different types of towers. All seven of our bridges are very different. They all come with different designs, so depending on if it's a bridge, we may treat it differently. They're not all the same, so we have to we're going to treat each bridge individually as themselves. So and as far as who we're going to engage, certainly the students, we want to engage the architect students. We have the number one architect school in the country. We want to talk to the students. Students at large and the city, because number one, because they own the bridges, we have to, if they don't give us permission, we can't do anything. And also, even the bridges who aren't owned by the city, all our bridges are used by everyone, students and community at large. So we want to make sure that everyone's feelings and thoughts are heard, and we will try and address them.
Yeah, just for the sake of time, I have a quick question. So you say this is the short-term solution, but exactly what span of time are we talking about that these chain-link fences are going to be up? And you said the decision is going to be made within the next 2 days. Who's responsible for making that final decision? Okay.
On campus, and they're going to be involved in the decision on that board that is constituted by the auditor for people in one of the areas of the university. So that group will make that final decision, and we will work on that.
And do you have any idea of the estimated time length?
All I can tell you is that we're going to start immediately. So we've already done some work. We're now reaching out and looking for bridge safety experts. We want to first engage them because before we start designing, this is not an architectural problem, this is a safety. So we first have to understand the safety issues around these bridges. Once we know that, then we can put that into an architectural problem because people want that. And so there's also another thing. Anytime you
Of course, a question on every SA member's mind is, are there opportunities for student involvement to get in this decision-making?
Yes. Our intent right now is to involve students, both the broad student body as well as the
Okay. Yeah, and if there are, you know, any spots open or anything, I can email you and we can inform others of it.
Right. And we're believing we're, you know, somebody said we're very courageous right now trying to, work on a college problem. So, you know, we're not experts at this, so we have any suggestions. We know of experts that we can reach out to. Please share that with us.
You still want
to? Yeah.
Representative Nicola.
So I'm just curious, especially with the given corroboration of the impact that these instructions would have, more so in reducing suicide, are there any examples where some instruction to a bridge has actually reduced the amount? I think, moreover, Dr. Michelle was quoted in the New York Times saying that our rate of suicide is about average for university. So why are we going to this extreme length, which might not even do anything, to like put all these instructions up on the bridge? And I agree that this is like a problem. You know, I'm not saying that suicide at Cornell shouldn't be confronted with problems solving like this, but I think this is a little bit of an inappropriate short-sighted plan. And I mean, I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts, but I'm not really sure about how well someone is going to prevent people from suicide.
Good question. That's a great segue.
I think Dr. Marcus, but let me just, I've been at Cornell 2 years now, and I've been there for 2 years, so I haven't been here for a long, but I've been dealing with these questions since I arrived, obviously, because of my orders and presentation at the past. And you know what? My initial reaction is that. How effective are these areas? Or do you have examples of this? And you know what? I didn't initially ask the same question, but you know, the more I learn from people like Dr. Marshall and Mr. Perry, a lot of different issues about suicide, I think there's a pretty good truth, and I'll ask.
Please, Dr. Marshall, go ahead.
Such as access to a fall from a great height. quantify that in any way, whether it's by the presence of another person or a barrier that is challenging to overcome, it may help buy time in which that impulse to die may pass. That actually has made the difference in many situations. So this is something that we're all learning about very quickly. We've been consulting with experts from the Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Columbia University, New York University, and others that have studied this, and we're finding consistent advice that barriers and bridges of some kind make a difference.
Thanks for answering that question. Mr. Long, if you would like to leave or stay, it's totally up to you. Yeah, feel free to do whatever you want. Representative Smith? And, oh, also, Dr. Marshall, if you already had a statement prepared, if you would like to make an address, you can do so now before we open up to other questions.
Well, I can't say it's prepared.
Yeah, please. You're a great extemporaneous speaker already. I told you I was great. Okay. Representative Smith.
Are you doing mentoring for them? Are you a little more seminars? Are you partnering in that? And you're holding volunteer training things for her? sessions for students to do, to go to now, or to be anything from within faculty members so they can understand, you know, exactly what we're going to do. I don't think that this is what we're going to occur. I think we need to go more towards a really problem. Are you now going to advise that, I know Christopher was talking about the different resources that were available in different colleges, are you now going to provide that every college has these different resources and that they're actually actively running and well funded to make the connection?
Thank you very much for citing many of the things that both are being done and need to be redoubled or put in place if they're not there already. And let me put this in a certain context. What you're describing is what I would call a public health approach to mental health. It has to do with the physical environment, such as access to means to suicide, but more importantly, it has to do with the community. It has to do with individuals and the community. So individuals who have perhaps mental health problems, we need to provide support that will help them deal with the difficulties they're having. Everything from EARS, the Empathy Assistance Referral Service, DMC's office, peer counseling is important. So counseling we provide, again, that's important. The academic advising office in each of the colleges and schools play a key role. Let me describe to you something new that we've done just in the past year, two things, as an example of the kind of things that we're doing campus-wide. We developed a program last year called Notice and Respond. And this is specifically a program where we go in, when I say we, members of the Gannett, academic advising staff, student services professionals, go into faculty and staff departments, and we present a program on how to recognize the signs of distress in other people, and how to talk to them, and how to help them, perhaps refer them to counseling in a state or to other resources that can be supported for them. The model that we use is to show faculty and staff how they can engage students who may have difficulty. But when we start the program, we describe it as something that is relevant to all human relationships. So we recognize that staff and faculty have emotional lives as well, and they are under stress. And face challenges, and at times need support as well. We're a community. We're all in this together. So even though right now the focus of these tragedies is obviously the concerns of tragedies involving students, we're concerned about the health and well-being of our entire community. The University Council on Mental Health and Welfare, which is a unique entity among institutions of higher education, has been in place in 2004, bringing together students, faculty, and staff to look at these mental issues.
Yeah, I am glad that Representative Nicoletti brought up, you know, a more scrutinizing eye towards this decision. I would thoroughly encourage more student consultations and more deliberation amongst, you know, higher level administrators before any consideration of physical barriers being put up. Because I do feel that while it's important for all student support services to work with one another, whether it be, you know, Gannett, CURW, even facilities get involved, I do fear that this physical presence, along with being a deterrent, would be an initiator for this conversation. You know, while students may not generally think of suicide while crossing any bridge, having that constant physical presence may serve as a reminder, and, you know, may, you know, on tours or anything, may initiate questions to be asked and just bring the topic of suicide to the forefront, which I don't necessarily think is the right intention.
So. Well, let me give a partial response.
Sure, yeah.
I appreciate the concern.
Yeah.
One thing is that, just looking at it from a research perspective, when barriers like this have gone up, there's no evidence that it led to an increase. Suicidal behavior consistently in a decrease. So I just want to share that piece of research with you. At the same time, when we put up short-term barriers that are not, that we haven't had time, the community has not had time to really design to, you know, blend into the landscape of the current architecture, they are going to be noticeable. It's going to raise questions in people's minds. There's a trade-off here. We know the most effective thing that can be done is to create the barriers. And yet, we know that it's also going to get people thinking about it. Unlikely in a way that's going to lead to more suicidal behavior. but certainly it's kind of about the situation that we're in, which is an unusual circumstance. There was a question about the data before. Why are we concerned about this? We are in an unusual situation right now. This is a crisis. The number of, even though when you look over a 10-year period, the level of suicide here is not higher than other colleges. Right now, we are in an unusual situation in which the pattern is calling for very significant measures in the short term. And I just want to tell you that, I mean, this is not my decision, but I want to tell you that while you're away, there may not be an opportunity that we would normally provide, and we will provide in the long term for student engagement about this, for community engagement, because the urgency of the matter, some decisions will need to be made, and changes will be made, and you will observe when you return. And it's not because there's a lack of desire for community input, or we decided to do it because everyone's away, it's because it has to happen quickly.
Well, we do appreciate the both of you taking the time to speak with us, and the fact that you are basing whatever decision you are making on, you know, thorough encyclopedic knowledge of past research. So, thank you very much for coming. Okay, we have a Women's Issues Committee update by Rosemary.
All right, so some good news on the forefront of bringing a mobile export service to campus. There's a independent business called Mess Express that I've been into contact with, and he's basically trying to create, in conjunction with Ithaca Dispatch Service, the taxi system here, a mobile taxi service for people to use 24 hours a day, definitely from nights and on weekends too. And how he's proposing it is that every student, or what we would try to do is get every student to get a pass at the beginning of the year. That they either have 10, 20, 100 unlimited swipes. And each swipe counts for one use of a taxi. So every time, instead of using the taxi and paying money, no matter where you go in the greater Ithaca area, it will be one swipe. And that equates to about $5 plus tax. So this way, you have a safe ride home at night. No one has to bring money with them home. And this would also be in conjunction with the Women's Issues Committee, because we're trying to get people a safe ride home from the library that night. So what I'm going to be working on this semester, along with Kristen and the committee, is to get this to expand, to talk to the university about maybe funding part of it, maybe seeing if the student assembly will fund part of it, and seeing if we can get unlimited services for the Ithaca Dispatch at least from Sunday to Thursday, hopefully on the weekends too, so people will have safe rides home just by using a mobile app.
All right. Thanks very much for all your hard work.
So, do they have any idea what this will do to, like, the amount of time it'll take to wait for a taxi cab?
It will actually make this taxi service more efficient, because this is basically going to be an outside business, so it's going to be making the taxi service a lot more money. So they're going to be having more efficient dispatching, and right now it's basically how we describe it. Three guys are sitting at a table writing down where they should go. With this influx of support, they'll be able to get the wait time down to about 5 minutes for any student, no matter where you are. It's a...
I think it's a really great program. The type of things that really need the type for within Ithaca, if you go to like Tiger Heights, it would be double rate or something, but within Ithaca, it's $5 and that includes your kit. So I think it's definitely going to be a really good
program. Yeah, that's who I'm working with. I'm working with Matt Koch. He's the CEO of Mass Express. And we're actually piloting the program at PiFi, and then we'll be able to use that data along with the resolution that was last semester, talking about safety, to kind of talk with the university, talk with transportation, and see if this is feasible, maybe not 24 hours a day, but at least for some part of the service here.
Representative Tuck.
Yes, Chris, this is a question for you. I know when Madeline brought this up earlier, you talked about how university right now pays for like buses to go around late night, and that this could possibly take the place of that. Do you know the specifics on that, or like more so like what the university has right now, and what that'll be coming on this, like what the university
no,
has
I don't.
Yeah.
absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's one of the things. A lot of people may not know that not only do we have a Blue Light Escort walking service, but we have a Blue Light Escort mobile service as well. It's basically the night buses that run, and unfortunately they only come once an hour, every hour.
You're talking about TCAT, too, right?
TCAT, yeah, this is the TCAT bus service. And we're currently in the process of getting the information from TCAT. It's actually a very long process. But we're trying to prove that more students will use this taxi service rather than the TCAT bus service at night, because if you miss the bus after 30 minutes, you're not going to wait an extra hour for the next bus to come.
You talked about doing a survey to prove that students use this more, right?
Yeah, I added two questions to the survey that Randy was going to send out.
Yeah, and that should, hopefully that will be ready by the time we get back from break.
Yeah, so we'll be getting data on that too. So we're just basically trying to coalesce as much data as possible, bring it to the administration, and hopefully show them that this is worth putting their money behind. And if not their money, hopefully the students don't have their money.
Great. A task force, sorry.
I don't know if I heard this right, but these taxis just go from library to dorms?
No, they go anywhere in the Ithaca area.
Okay, so if I were, you know, at my fraternity party, and I wanted to ride home, then that would work for me?
Yes.
You want to subsidize
that? You would use one flight. I mean, I'm not saying we haven't met with the university yet. I'm still going to be in talk with Dean Haswell, Susan Murphy, President Gordon. But according to Matt, President Gordon is very, very behind this idea, and we'll make it work. There will be restrictions eventually. Right now, this doesn't make sense. What?
Maybe we could have a provision here that people don't take advantage.
Well, the thing is, no matter what, if you have a mobile escort service, that automatically makes the campus safer, no matter what you're using it for. If you're not walking around at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's less chances of you being hurt or anything like that. Makes these decisions. So, I mean, there are definitely going to be restrictions by the time this is all said and done. But for right now, I mean, the big picture is safety.
Yeah. I'd say judicial task force update with Brock.
Yeah, it's exactly what it says. If you're interested in being right. part of the task force to create some kind of judicial committee, I'm not sure how it will look. What I know it will end up doing is being able to interpret the charter rules in a non-biased fashion. Probably have no SA members on it, and it might even be part of the elections committee, because I was thinking of not allowing SA members on the elections committee as well. So we might combine the two and make it just one unbiased committee. So if you're interested at all in the committee idea, give me a call, email me, you'll join the task force.
Great. And when you finalize the meeting time, please be sure to let us know. We have a DJC update by DC LaSalle.
Just real briefly, we have a vacancy on the UA's CJC Codes and Judicial Committee. So if there's, I've opened it up to people that have sent in applications before the CJC, as well as others that might be interested, including new members of the Student Assembly for next year. So if there's anybody that's interested, please email me, and we're going to make an executive decision at some point to staff this committee and this vacancy.
Great. Any other announcements or reports? Okay, move on to unfinished business. Resolution 52, resolution in support of the state student statement on the right to research by Representative Desai. And just a reminder on parliamentary procedures, I know last week with the SAFC things were a little in disarray. So, you know, if you have any questions, just a point of information, all questions are addressed to the chair. I know students, you sometimes have the urge to jump in, but generally if I don't know, I'll refer it to the right person. So go on.
Dialogue and decided to opt for open access based on the resolution that
VP Kumar.
Yeah, and as Representative Desai noted, you know, the University Library is very excited about this, and I think having the GPSA and the Student Assembly behind it will help quite a bit. So I'm in complete support of this, and I'll call us a question.
Second.
There's been a call to question, and there's been a second. Are there any other motions? Oh, there's been a call for acclamation. Oh, and there's been a dissent. All right, we'll just go ahead and call it the question. And you three up here can vote on it. So, we don't have any liaisons. So, if you're in favor of it, please.
Are you in favor?
Okay. And anyone in dissent? All right, so the community vote will be 3-0, so we'll add an additional to that. And Allison, if you would please call the roll.
No.
Yes.
I don't vote.
Yes.
That's fine. 12 to 1 to 3 plus the two votes for the community clause, so that's 14, right? To 1 to 3. That'll be the final vote. Resolution passed. Resolution 54, removing the charter test for SA members, calling Terry Cohen and BG. Will the clerk please call the roll once again?
Yes.
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 Vote 16-0-0, the resolution passes. Moving along, resolution 55. We have more charter amendments. Go ahead. Questions or comments?
Does
anyone cause questions? Second? Does anyone say? We can on a charter change. Also, please call once again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Vote of 16-0-0, the resolution unanimously passes. Now we have resolution 63, required orientation events on health by Representative Brockman. Keep in mind this is new business, so please limit your comments to questions. And if you can grab seats on the table, you feel free to. They too can add themselves as co-sponsors in this way, right? Okay, great. Please introduce yourself. Thank you. Great. Okay, Representative Nicoletti.
Yeah.
I think. So. All right. Sure. Briefly. Just really quick. Yeah.
I'm trying to make it quite fast. You know, I really like that the government, like Tim Marshall said earlier when he came, that there really was pursuit involvement. I'm just like, on the hand, me and Rock Horses, which you said earlier, was the lead. I guess the point I'm trying to get across is that, like, I think it's great that we're starting something here and that we've all kind of mobilized around this issue, that it takes a community, but at the same time, like, there's a lot more to do, and we're prepared to speak right now, but there's also more important things that exist. So I heard you guys have that idea.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Great. Okay, I think this is great. I think that you got support from Sarah Jones, you got support from OMB Chair, Haven, and you, and Tim Marshall, right? Tim Marshall support this? Okay. I don't want to debate, you know, and answer the question first. I move to move this is the day.
Okay.
But I don't know if there's anyone who would like to speak.
Yeah, we have it.
So that I use one time to speak.
Yeah, we've also been working with this issue there. So, yeah, I mean, again, just to play devil's advocate, like, having attended new student, like, orientation week programming, so, I mean, we have the readership program, we have Tapestry, and we have the RA event, and it's pretty much sort of the big three in terms of, like, what you have to attend. And, like, my memory from freshman year is that pretty much nobody pays attention to any of them. So I guess the question for, yeah, I mean, we want to do something, and we definitely want freshmen to be oriented about, like, mental health awareness. But, you know, is, like, an orientation week, like, a big, giant orientation week event, the best event to actually get people to pay attention to the resources that are available?
We were told that by calling the requirement, which is actually called the requirement, 70 to 80% of the incoming student population. And when you consider community approaches to health, that this is really the best answer for that.
Okay, so the thought is that, you know, you're going to capture the most sort of listeners, I guess, with making it a required orientation event?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
And so, like, you know, again, you know, the thought is sort of like to play, to continue the conversation, to continue the dialogue at least. You know, yeah, we can rush and we can pass this today, and it can be sort of create this orientation week event. But, you know, has there any been given thought at all? You know, I know that all these people sort of said yes, let's do it. But to sort of take a step back and say, you know, okay, what about like small group events, like anything else other than like one giant required orientation week event? You know, like my point is, sure, we can move to business today and vote on it now. But why does it have to be done right today, right this minute? Like, I know that, again, all these people sort of pledged their support to this idea, you know, ephemerally, but, you know, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, I guess, from, you know, I hear the CEOs nodding, and so I guess, you know, I'll yield to them, and I'd like to hear their thoughts.
Well, if you look at the...
I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay,
right?
But if you look at the...
Just, yeah, give it to you.
The structure of the event, in terms of will it be small groups, or will it be
It's VP Basil's time, and... Yeah.
Well, I meant the question.
Well, he directed it to them. Go ahead.
Right,
if you don't want to speak, you don't have to. You'll move on.
Okay.
All right.
Do you guys want to? I'm just curious.
Speak.
Well, I'm just curious, you know, sort of what other ideas are out there about, like, you know, ways to orient people about mental health issues. I mean, I'm just wondering why, you know, we settled on this sort of one giant event as sort of the de facto, like, we're going to do this.
Did you have a question, or did you want to make a comment? Go ahead.
So, it's my understanding that Tapestry
industry is building up a several different groups that are done a couple different times during orientation. Why not do something like that or tie it into Tapestry and do it all at the same time?
We're not saying we're not doing something like this. Tapestry is adding a couple of skits. It is a different type of event. It's not really in terms of, is it going to be one big giant tiny day ball, or will it be those 150 people after 3 events? That's a complete determination of the, as you can see, the resolution, the DC of Academic Student Services, the DC of Students, and the Director of Mental Health Division, Mr. Moneo. So that decision will be made by us.
So what does this resolution exactly mean?
It says that the student, I mean, you can read it right.
Okay, so now there's been a motion to move this to business of the day. This requires a majority vote. So we'll go ahead and do a hand vote. All those in favor of moving this to business of the day, please raise your hand. Eight. All those against? Five vote. Eight. You got? Yeah, by votes 8-6, the resolution will be moved to business of the day. And now we can open it up for debate and comments and opinions or motions. Representative Smith.
First of all, I want to commend Representative Brockman for doing all the back work on this resolution. In the sense, like, you know, if you're presenting a resolution like this, this is the sort of, you know, you should be talking to administrators, you should be talking to, you know, the relevant people before presenting resolutions. So great work on that. And same for Representative Rass, too, in terms of her amendment. I know you've been working on this sorts of issues all year through the Women's Issues Committee. So, you know, great job for both of you doing all the back work for this. My question was sort of about funding. I know you had pushed for a transfer event during orientation, and we had built that into the orientation's OSC's budget. So, you know, any sort of event like this, where would the funding come from? I'll yield to D.P. Basil.
I was going to ask a question to Neville, but first, it's very difficult to...
I don't know what to call the question.
Second. There's been a cause question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's been dissent. Okay, I'll just continue with Representative Walsh.
I
think that question
that
you're dealing
with the structure of the entire tariff. And I also think that the Anyone else?
I mean, I'd rather not quickly make them. I'd rather table this and sort of think about like an amendment.
We have a community member who wishes to speak. Chauncey, come up, sir. There's no one else called. For example.
In terms of like, you know, you going out and getting support from like Sarah Jones and others, did you discuss with them the option of having an event later in the semester, or did you, was your proposal simply an orientation week event?
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.